Lord, thank you so much for your goodness today. We ask for the mighty Holy Spirit, our guide, our comforter, the Spirit of truth, to lead us and to guide us today into all truth. We believe we have hearing ears to hear what you're saying to us today, because you're talking to us today. You talk to us in your word. We believe we have eyes that are open to behold wonderful, wonderful things. Our hearts are hungry and open to receive from you today. We know that we're not one of us are here by chance or by coincidence. We're drawn together by your Spirit. We've come together, as the Bible says, for such a time as this right now. We have one life to live, and every day matters. And so we thank you so much for today. May your plans and purposes come to pass in us. We pray in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. If you hear that prayer, say amen. Amen. Shake someone's hand before you sit down and tell them, pay attention today, because God's going to talk to you. He talks to us in his word. Amen. Hey, we're going to start reading today from the book of Luke, chapter number 4. All the verses of the Bible will be up on the screen. If you have a Bible or a smartphone or a tablet, maybe you can read along with me this morning. Technology is so wonderful because everybody can have a Bible now today in their hand without having to lug around a big paper Bible. Now, if you do that, that's totally fine and good. But am I by no means one of those people that says, you got to have a paper Bible. I think they should get with the new 21st century. If you got a Bible, whether it's paper, electronic, or written on the back of your hand, that's good enough for me. Amen. Read it and believe it. I'd rather have you do one verse and do it and believe it than read 1,000 and say, what did I just get done reading, right? So God's word is God talking to us. So I do everything from the iPad now and the tablet and the computer. And from Luke chapter 4, verse 16, from the New Living Translation, we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to you and to me for a reason. He knew why he was here. There's something exciting about living life with a reason, doing what we do with a reason behind it. Nothing is more, maybe somebody here, anybody here ever been hired for a job, but they weren't clear on expectations? They weren't clear on, here's what I want you to get done, and here's your job description, here's your job responsibilities. They just kind of said, hey, here's your desk, go over there and get something done. Anybody ever been something like that? That is so frustrating, because you don't really know if I'm measuring up. You don't really know if I'm getting anything accomplished. And then if you get called on the carpet for something you didn't know to begin with anyway, right? So that's no way for us to live life. Well, Jesus knew why he was here. He had a clear and distinct purpose for coming to the earth. God the Father had a clear reason for sending him, and we see it right here in Luke chapter 4. In verse number 16, New Living Translation, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, so he grew up there in Nazareth, he went, now watch what it says here, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Stop right there. Jesus went as usual to church on the Sabbath day. So if the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Son of God, who was absolutely perfect, who never had sin, if he usually went to church on Sunday, how about you and me? Hello? It says in the old King James, it was his custom. I like this. He just went. He just went to Sabbath. He went to temple on Sabbath. He went to church on Sabbath, and you and I go to church on the weekend. Thank God we are here. And I love how that's there for a reason. It was usual, nothing unusual for him to be in church on Sunday. Actually, it was Sabbath in those days among the Jews. It's Saturday. So he's there on Sabbath, on Saturday. And then it says, and he stood up to read the scripture. It was normal for him to go to church and read the scripture. Can you say amen? Amen. So make it part of your life. Just make it just your normal part of your life. It's a brand new year. We're trying to establish new habits. Somebody said somewhere along the line, who knows who made this up or if it's true or not. It takes 21 days to establish a habit. I know this. It takes determination to establish a habit. It takes a change in thinking to establish a habit. It takes a desire to improve oneself to establish a habit, right? And so in my life, I had a heart attack, and just like that, didn't take me 21 days, took me 21 seconds to change the habits in my life. You with me now? So I don't know if you need 21 days or 81 days or 20, whatever it does. All I know is this, you have to determine to do it and then just go do it. And then don't beat yourself up. If you fall short, get right back up again, dust yourself off, and get back on the road. And so it was his habit to go to church. It was his habit to read the scriptures. It's a brand new year. Make it your habit to be at church, to fellowship. We need one another. Make it your habit to feed yourself with the word of God, to read the scriptures. So it says again, he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home. This is the very beginning of his ministry. He's just been baptized by John. He goes as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scripture. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. And he unrolled the scroll, and then he found the place where this was written. Today in our Bibles is Isaiah chapter number 61. Verse number 1. In those days, it wasn't broken up in chapter and verse. So he had to scroll through it, and he found the place where this was written. And he announces why he has come. He announces what he is about to do. He announces his purpose for being sent by God. He unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me. Two things there. He anointed me and he sent me. He called me and he sent me. He empowered me and he sent me. God has raised me up and God has sent me out. That's what he's saying right here. And the same thing can be said for you and for me. God has called every one of us. And he's called us together at this time in 2019 for, as the Bible says, such a time as this. None of you are here by coincidence. You might say, well, you know, my mom dragged me here. That's what you think. But God has a purpose in you being here right now. Well, you know, my wife made me come. That's what you think. And maybe she did. And good for her. Hope she got you by the ear and dragged you out of bed. That's what you think. But the fact is, God has brought you here in his divine plan and his divine purpose. So he reads a scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. The blind will see. The oppressed will be set free. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. This is what will be. This is what will happen. And I'm anointed by God to do this. And I'm sent by God to do this, to bring good news to the poor. Well, what's good news to a poor person? Abundance. What's good news to a poor person? More than enough. What's good news to a poor person? You don't got to be poor no more, right? Isn't that good news to a poor person? A full supply, more than enough? He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free. And then he adds this gem in verse number 19, that the time of the Lord's favor has come. It's a time of favor. It's a time of increase. 2018, we talked about our year of fruitfulness. Well, it didn't end at the end of 2018. It's going to carry a rod. We're just adding to it this year. So then he rolled up the scroll and he handed it back to the attendant and he sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. It says in the King James, they were fixed upon him. They were fastened upon him. And he began to speak to them, the scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. He goes, all of that is me. All of that is talking about me. Amen. So Jesus, I'm going to say it like this. He led a life of purpose. Let me say it this way. He led a purpose-driven life. He wasn't driven by tradition. He wasn't driven by what somebody else thought he ought to do. He wasn't led by just the fads, the local trends or the local fads. He wasn't just led by what he thought things ought to be. He got up there and read the scripture from the book of Isaiah and said, this is me, and this is what I am anointed to do, and this is what I am sent to do. He led a purposeful life. He knew why he was here. He knew what he was trying to accomplish. It was good news to the poor, release for the captive, sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and that the Lord's favor would be for all. That was his purpose. Now let's fast forward here to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 9. Now we go ahead in a bunch of years to the ministry of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 22. In the same way, we see that the Apostle Paul knew why he was sent. He knew what his purpose was. He knew what he was about. And we're going to read here in a moment, he even said, I run with purpose in every step. 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 22, he's talking about trying to find common ground with all different types of people so he could win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 9, 22, he says, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Then he says, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. Now, I'm not going to win every single person to Christ, but I can win some of them. I'm not going to be able to win every single person and pray with them all, but I can win some of them. Sometimes it's just sowing seed. Sometimes it's watering the seed. Sometimes I can win that person to Christ, but I want to try to find a point of connection. I want to find common ground with everyone so I can win them to Jesus. Hear me carefully. You have common ground with somebody. I have common ground with somebody. Now, there's certain grounds not common for me. I don't know a thing about cars. But some of you guys are car buffs. You know about carburetors, fuel injectors, lift kits, you know, 57 Ford, whatever this, 58 Chevy, whatever that. I mean, some of you guys can just see a car going by. Oh, that's a 62 Chevy right there. Some of you guys, I don't know how you guys do that. I know where the gas goes. I know where the oil goes. And I pay for everything else, all right? Some of you guys, there's just Karen Varga back there, her and Esther, especially Karen, but especially Esther, to working together. They have this eye for color. We're doing all this remodeling on my house. That I have no common ground on that. I'm like, oh, that looks good. That looks terrible. Oh, that looks terrible. Am I right? My common ground is, where's the paycheck? Where's the checkbook? You know, like that. But they have common ground. You have common ground with somebody. Now, I have common ground with somebody. I can maybe talk a little bit about sports, or I can talk about the Bible, or maybe some of the things like that, but we all have common ground with someone. Listen, your common ground is from God. So you can share Jesus with somebody, which means you're going to reach people I'm never going to reach. You have a sphere of influence I will never even ever be able to invade. And it's not by some accident God gave you the gifts, the talents, and the personality that you have. That's intentional by God. That's why it's a body effort. It's a team effort. You'll reach people I'll never reach. I'll reach people you'll never reach. But if we'll do it together, we can win a lost world, which is the purpose of the church, to Jesus. So he says here, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and to share in its blessings. That's his purpose. Share the good news. Tell people about Jesus. Share its blessings. It's for the entire world. Then he says, don't you realize in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Purpose to win. Purpose to cross the finish line. Be intentional. All athletes are disciplined in their training. That means it's work to win. Nobody ever coasted to the finish line. This year's Super Bowl, someone's going to win the Super Bowl this year. May it be the Rams and the Chargers in the Super Bowl. Oh, may it be, may it be. We just shut down L.A. for a whole weekend, right? If that had to be a holiday around here, right? But whoever wins has to work really hard. Whoever wins has to train really hard. Just to get to the as far as they are right now, you got to work really, really, really hard. And these guys do it for a Super Bowl ring, but then we're going to crown another champion next year, another one next year. So maybe the Rams this year, Chargers next year, Raiders next year. I'm just teasing. Okay, whoever your team is, I'm just teasing on that. Yeah, yeah, real miracle for the Raiders. Yeah, miracle. All right. But they got to train really hard. Nobody ever coasted to a championship. Nobody ever coasted for this. Amen? So God wants us to run to win. And God wants us to work. And he wants us to work hard. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. All athletes who are disciplined in their training, they do it to win a prize that's going to fade away. That's right. It's a one-year deal, and then somebody else is crowned the next year. But we do it for an eternal prize. 100,000 years from now, we'll bump into somebody in heaven who came to Jesus right here in these seats. That's an eternal prize. A million years from now, we'll bump into one of those kids who's up there and say, I received Jesus up there in Mr. Daniel's class when I was 9 years old and after he told me to be quiet three times. But thank you for sharing the gospel with me. That's an eternal prize. Are you listening to me now? We're going to meet some little girl who was rescued from trafficking in Thailand. And she's going to say, thank you for supporting Life Impact International. Even though you never could come to my country, you sent, with your generosity, gifts to my country. And because of you, somebody was sent to my country that you supported. And my life was changed. That's an eternal prize. It's not some ring, not some trophy, not some ribbon, not something that goes up on the wall. It ends up in a box in the attic somewhere. That is an eternal prize. Can you say amen? Amen. They do it for a prize that's going to fade away. We do it for an eternal prize, so I run with purpose in every step. Paul's like, I get this. Will you get it? I see this. Can you see it? That's why I run with purpose in every step. That's why I work so hard. That's why I train like an athlete. That's why I endure the hardships and the persecution and the opposition and the misunderstandings and everything else I've got to deal with here. That's why I discipline myself. I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. That's why I have to overcome a real enemy. It's not shadow boxing. There's a real enemy trying to knock me down here. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Paul knew why he was here and what he was trying to accomplish. He said, I do everything I can to save some. That was his purpose. He said, I do everything I can to spread the good news. That was his purpose. He said, run to win. He said, I run with purpose in every step. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse number 21, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. And the fact is, God has a plan and a purpose for my life and for yours. And for our lives together as a church. Well, the amazing thing about serving God in his kingdom is that we individually know him and we run our race individually, but we know him collectively as a body and we run our race collectively also. It's an amazing duel the way we do this. There's two sides to it. There's the individual relationship with God, but then there's the family relationship with God. And it works together. And it's not either or. It's together both and. That's what God intends for you and for me. So therefore, I said God has a plan and a purpose for my life and for our lives together as a church. So 2019, you probably already know what I'm getting at here, will be our year of purpose. This is a huge year for us. Our year of purpose. We had a couple years back our year of hope. But we still preach hope at Family Life. And last year, we declared, led by the Spirit, our year of fruitfulness. And we still expect fruitfulness at family life. Amen? And so added together with that, because it really just keeps snowballing, 2019 is our year of purpose. Amen? And we're going to be talking about this throughout the year. But there's five biblical purposes for the church. And they are worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism. And in fact, if you'll find your little handout you should have received at the door this morning, it looks just like this. It says purpose on one side, and it's got these five purposes on the other side. All right, great. If you can find that, if you don't have one, raise your hand. If you got by our ushers out there, and we'll put them in your hand right now. Great, thank you guys very much. So the five biblical purposes of the church: worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism. And while you're doing that, let's put up on the screen, Erica, FLC's, our vision statement. It's bringing people who are away from God into a living relationship with Jesus and growing believers into full maturity in Him. This is our assignment from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we're trying to accomplish. Every single Sunday, every classroom, every life group, every outreach, every meeting, all that we do is this right here. We want to bring people who are away from God. That's people who've never been to church, people who never heard about Jesus, people maybe who've gone to church and then something, maybe they got hurt, maybe they got burnt out, maybe they backslid, maybe they fell away, whatever it is, or away from God. We want to bring people who are away from God into a living relationship with Jesus and grow believers to full maturity in Him. And that's the Great Commission. We'll talk about some more about this next Sunday. When you boil it down, we say it like this: believe, belong, become. Believe, belong, become. Believe, belong, become. Now, you could also say that belong, believe, become. Because you can come to family life and say, I don't know if I believe that or not yet, but I'm going to keep coming and see if I can figure this out. Come. Keep coming. You might say, I have some friends who'd like to come to church, but they're unbelievers. Bring them. I know a guy who's just, you might say, I have some friends who want to come, but man, their lifestyle is so messed up. Well, bring them to the doctor. His name is Jesus. Bring them to the Savior. His name is Jesus. So you can really say it that way too. Belong, believe, become. Amen. So believe, but we'll just say believe, belong, become. Because of the three of those, believing is it. If we belong and become without believing, we're not belonging and becoming much of anything, right? We've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. So let's bring up the backside of this, Erica, okay? Of the handout. Worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, evangelism. All right? Here we go. And if you got the little definitions made for that also, did we get that done? Okay, great. So worship. I was created to know God. Say it with me. I was created to know God. Say it again. I was created to know God. Yes, you were. And you'll meet people. Maybe some of you had philosophy in college. Why are we here? What's the purpose for existence? There's your answer. I'll tell you why I'm here, to know Him. God made you and me to fellowship with Him. God made you and me to walk with Him. You read in the very, very beginning in the book of Genesis why God made us to walk with Him and to know Him. Amen. So I was created to know God. So we want to expand on this, and our goals that go under this purpose of worship is very simple. We want more people in the seats. We want to increase our overall attendance here at Family Life. And the best way that we do that is by inviting people to come. Let me just ask real quickly here. Now, I don't know. I could be setting myself up for something here. But how many of you, the first time you ever came to Family Life or maybe any church like this was because somebody invited you? Can I see your hands right now? All right, so that's about more than half right now. All right? Somebody invited you or somebody brought you. The number one way people come to church, I think it's over 80%, is by a personal invitation. And I read somewhere that something like almost 90% of people say they would go if somebody invited them. And it removes that little bit of fear people have of going into a new place if they can go with somebody that they already know. And so we want to invite them. And then we want to increase, of course, the overall membership of family life. Well, of course, that's our goal. Amen. And so that's our goal for worship. Number two is fellowship. I was formed for God's family. Say it with me. I was formed for God's family. Say it again. I was formed for God's family. By that, I mean we were made to participate in God's family. Not just be a spectator, but to be a participator. Amen. And so we want to increase our life group attendance this year. We finally tracked numbers this past year, and we want to have more life groups and have more people coming to life groups. And if you go to them, you know you don't want to miss. And if you've not yet been to one, man, you are missing out on so much. It is a major part of your journey with God, your spiritual growth. You need somebody else in your life. Two are better than one. You need somebody encouraging you, praying for you, and you need to be encouraging somebody else and praying for somebody else. And that all happens in life groups, amen. And they're getting ready to launch again the 27th of this month, so be sure you sign up. And so we want to increase our attendance in life groups and have at least one, and right now scheduled is going to be the gathering around Thanksgiving time at the end of the year, at least one where the whole family gets together at one time, at least one all-church gathering. Worship, I was created to know God. Fellowship, I was formed for God's family. The third purpose is discipleship. I was created to become like Christ. Say it with me. I was created to become like Christ. Say it again. I was created to become like Christ. The object, the model, that what we're trying to become like is Jesus. And we were made to become like him. Well, one way we do that family life is through our growth class called Shift. So we just want to have more people go through Shift, just want to increase the number of people. We call it Shift graduates. It's only a four-week class. Week one is Sunday one, week two, Sunday two. It just goes on all the time. You can begin and end anytime. It just goes in rotation all the time. And that'll help you get grounded and discipled in the Lord. And then we're going to begin this year a New Beginnings class for people who are brand new and respond to the invitation, but don't know a thing about Jesus or the Bible or prayer or anything at all like that. We want to get just a New Beginnings class, which we will get going this year. Worship, I was created to know God. Fellowship, I was formed for God's family. Discipleship, I was created to become like Christ. And then ministry, I was shaped to serve God. And we could really add there, and others with my gifts and talents. That's what that means. I was shaped to serve. I was shaped to serve. Amen. And so we want to have increased involvement on our ministry teams. Lots of you are already involved. I think over half the church serves on a team already. We want to get that number even higher. The average church, less than 20%, serve in any ministry. So we're more than double that already at Family Life, but we're no average church. Amen. And we want to get that number even higher. I think 80% is a worthy goal. 80% of people who call Family Life their church to serve somewhere on a team. And there's lots of ways to serve. So we want to increase involvement on ministry teams. And we'll launch ministry teams if they fit your gifts, if it's something you're passionate about doing. And we want to equip, empower, and train more leaders. Amen. And we are definitely anointed by God to do that regarding leadership. So worship, I was created to know God. Fellowship, I was formed for God's family. Discipleship, I was created to become like Christ. Ministry, I was shaped to serve God. Then evangelism, I was created to tell others about Jesus. That's right. You and I, in fact, say it with me. I was created to tell others about Jesus. You do that by letting your light shine, by just living your life for Him. When an opportunity arises just to share with somebody, pray with somebody, what I have found over the years is very few people will refuse prayer. And if somebody shares with you and they may see something in you and they're like, man, I'm having this problem, this issue, my husband this, my family that, my kids this, the doctor told me that, can I just pray with you right now? Nobody says no. They're like, okay. They don't even know what to expect. They're just amazed and touched. You would care that much. But you're an ambassador for Christ. You're His hands extended. And I found over the years, people who I don't even know that well, but if they feel confident enough to share with me something like that, and I say, well, can I just pray with you? I do this, guys, right in the gym. And now they seek me out sometimes. Pastor Ray, come up and pray. I need your prayer right now. Standing right by a machine. I'll just lay a hand. And I don't make, in the name. I don't need anything like that. Come on, that's an idiot. All right? Be the last time they ever ask for prayer. I just say, certainly. And I'll just maybe lay my hand right there on their shoulder or something like that. And I just pray for my brother in Jesus' name and just pray for him right then. It's just an amazing, amazing thing that God will do in you. Amen. And you are created to tell others about Jesus. And so this year we're going to conduct at least 2 community outreaches that bring Jesus to our community, to a lost and to a dying world. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening in to hear the Word of God today. At Family Life Church, our purpose is to help you grow into full maturity in Christ. You can join us on Sundays at the Covina Center for the Performing Arts at 9:30 and 11 o'clock a.m.